relaxed to the Brickyard. Daytona to Homestead. Jackson and Thomas are covering it all. Welcome to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Back again for episode number 3 or 4 or 5. I'm not sure, but the NASCAR season is underway, and I've been looking forward to this day for all week long. Because it feels like Phoenix happened so long ago, and I'm ready for Auto Club just to happen once again. We've got the Xfinity race going on. We've got plenty of things locally and nationally to discuss. Plus, we saw our first 60-degree day in quite a while.
Dry pavement.
Earlier this week, the pavement is dry. The golf course right next to where we're broadcasting from is starting to show a little bit of the green, and that means that local racing will be on its way soon. My name's Jackson. Thank you for joining us here for another episode of the Racing Rundown. Next to me, and across the table, is the one, the only, Thomas Gomez. T-Money, as you're as you're called across these office hallways.
I have Logley to thank for that one.
Yeah, Jake Logley from the Full Court Press Afternoons loves to just shout out T-Money whenever he sees you.
And always, the front desk, everywhere.
How's your week going?
It's good. How about yours?
It's going well, man. It's been a good one. It's been busy, and I believe it has for you as well.
Yes, another busy week.
How are the classes going?
So far, so good. I'm only 2 weeks in, I believe. So I'm ready for it to be done already.
You got the new book, or do you?
Yeah, it's all, everything's online. So I have the ebook, which makes it really nice to, you know, look up a word or something. I can just, you know, Control F, type it in. There it is.
And that's the find button if you are not one who knows computers very well. But that's awesome, man. So yeah. 2 weeks in, you're feeling good. This goes for 3 months?
8 weeks total.
Nice. You're just moving along. You're going for your double bachelor, and that's going to be awesome. But the grind is what you're on right now.
Yes.
And Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I appreciate you always coming to hang out with me and just talk about some racing.
Yeah.
Racing Rundown here as we do this thing every single week here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. If you're in the car right now, we appreciate you hanging out. If you are getting out of the car soon, we do have the Sports Fan Rockford app, which is free if you've got an Android or an iPhone. I believe it works for Windows as well. The SportsFanRockford.com website. You can click the stream live button right there on the top right. And also check out Racing Rundown and some of our past episodes, which we like to post over there as well. And starting today, your very first chance, if you like college basketball, you go and make a bracket, costs you nothing. The best bracket in the state line wins you $500. And Thomas, you win the $500, you're entered into a larger pool. But if your bracket is good enough, the grand prize, $1 million.
Wow. That's awesome.
SportsFanRockford.com. It's absolutely free to join. And college basketball starting up. We've got Selection Sunday. And right now, we've got the brackets that are available. You can register. And that ends on the 21st. Get on the website.
I know absolutely nothing about basketball or any other sport really in general, but that makes me want to do it.
Have you done a bracket before? Have you
just NASCAR?
Just NASCAR?
Yeah.
And we like to do the playoff ones.
I don't like to vote blindly like Lori does. Lori won our office football league just by picking teams based on their colors.
She's done that for fantasy football as well, where she picks players based on their names and their butts. Lori from the Morning X next door on 104.9 The X. There are different ways to go about it. I'm not one who typically watches a lot of college basketball until March, but I couldn't tell you who's going to surprise and who's going to go all the way. The great thing is, even the smartest and most in tune college basketball watchers don't know, because there's upsets and surprises every single year. You go onto the website, it's free, you fill the thing out. Who knows? You could win $500 just for doing so.
That's awesome.
A lot of things happening in the NASCAR circuit. A lot of things happening locally here pretty soon. We do have registration beginning for the Rockford Speedway on Friday. That's the 22nd. So if you're planning to race or know somebody who is and you want to just remind them, Forest Hills Lodge is where it's going to be located at 6 o'clock on Friday. The rookie orientation. And then following that at 7 p.m., you've got a driver meeting. Just a general meeting to, you know, have everybody get to know each other over at Forest Hills Lodge. The next day, a preseason tire sale for the Rockford Speedway. They're going to have all the different tires that you could use at the track throughout the course of the year, 10 a.m. to noon. So Friday, you've got the registration and orientation. Saturday, you've got the preseason tire sale going on over there. And now that the snow has melted, and I said the S-word.
S-word, yeah.
I am really looking forward to getting out there April 27th, a lot of the opening night races. Thomas, I don't know which one we're going to hit first, man, but the great thing is we've got plenty of time to figure that thing out.
Looking forward to it.
What's on your mind following this weekend?
IndyCar, I was surprised to see that 28-year-old won the race. He's also the 2017 series champion.
Yeah, he's looking to get back into it. Joseph Newgarden, congratulations to him. He won the Firestone Grand Prix at St. Petersburg, the streets of St. Petersburg, and they were racing around all over the...
It's not me on my way to work, I promise. That's not,
although you've got the car to do it, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Sharpest car here in the building. My guy, Willpower, he won the pole. He led 17 laps. He finished third. Joseph Newgarden, it was his day. He led the most laps. Scott Dixon finishing in second place for the first weekend of Indy. Of course, in NASCAR, the big story this week, Thomas.
Kyle Busch won away from the 200.
He took the checkered flag at ISM Raceway in Phoenix in a caution-filled race, which we're going to break down a little bit later on.
He swept the weekend, actually, winning both the Xfinity and Cup.
Yep. Didn't do the trucks, but he did the right. Xfinity.
There was no truck race.
That's right.
Trucks on a break.
So he's won almost five races in a row. 4 out of 5, if you count.
Pretty much, yeah.
All three. So now that puts him one win away from 200?
Yes. It's getting there.
Are you coming around to becoming a Kyle Busch fan yet? What's the temperature? 1 to 10, are you a Kyle Busch fan?
1.
Still
only
a 1?
0 is not an option.
I'm going to work on this.
Okay.
Throughout the course of the year.
All right.
I'm going to work on this. But he absolutely dominated the Phoenix race. There were times when there were other drivers in contention, but we'll break that all down in segment number 2. NASCAR has announced new rules going forward, and one that involves qualifying. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Qualifying, they will have a speed limit on pit road. Normally during the races, there's a speed limit where you can't go above, I believe it's 45 for most tracks, and that's entering, exiting, any part of pit road, you know, you cannot go over. And these cars, they don't have a speedometer like we do. They just have these lights that light up, and if you get too far, then, you know, you're over the speed limit. Hope you don't get caught. But they'll have that this weekend, and I feel like that's something interesting to see, especially lately with all these qualifying sessions and the cars. They wait till last second to go out, and if you're going to gun it and try and get out of pit road so you can make a good qualifying effort, and you end up speeding trying to get off pit road and there's limited time left, if you make a really great lap, awesome, good for you, it doesn't count because you got caught speeding.
And if you haven't watched the qualifying here recently, they have changed it up in recent years where in the past it used to be, okay, it's time for your 2 laps and we're going to take your best lap and that's the time that we're going to go with. And now
5 hours later,
yeah, basically,
we have a pole driver.
But now it's whenever you want to go out and drive, they'll take your best lap, but you can go when someone else is on the track. It's basically free reign. And what you're referencing is there's a lot of drivers that wait until the very end to see the time to beat. Now, it's all timed on a timer, so they wait until right at the tail end, and then they go out there and try to run their lap as fast as possible. But what you're saying, your theory is, it may prevent that going forward if they've got to abide by the speed limit. And why
exactly.
is that?
Because you don't want to get nailed for speeding. It's just as simple as that. Don't do it. I mean, we all do it every day on the way to work, I'm sure. But it's completely different in NASCAR. They will, I mean, just coming out of Phoenix, that hurt Chase Elliott.
Yeah,
it
did. That hurt a couple of drivers. There were a couple of drivers so far in the first 4 races that have been speeding, and they just get that docked the lap, and you hope that it happens early enough to where they could recover. But on pit road, they're going to dock your best time or your most recent best time?
Is that how? Disqualify it completely.
So you'll have to just start over completely? So if they wait until the last minute, then it'll just show that they didn't qualify. They'll have to start at the tail end of the...
That's how I understood it. And this is something we saw last weekend with Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell.
They've got about 11 checkpoints. I think it's 11 in all tracks. If not, then it's most. Where there's entry, how fast are you going? There's 100 feet after entry, how fast are you going? When you get to pit stall X, how fast are you going?
Yep.
All the way throughout the entire strip. And you have to abide by that speed limit the entire time. Because if you're going over a little bit, they'll get you.
Yeah, I'd get a speeding ticket in every single
You and I
segment.
Both. You and I both. Because when they say it's 50 miles an hour, they're giving you to 49.999. You can't even go 50. Overall, do you think that this is the right move?
I really do think it is. I don't like, as a fan, I like seeing the last minute hesitation because it makes it a little bit more competitive. But at the same time, I'm screaming at the TV, will you just go already?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
Does it dull down the end of qualifying at all? Does it make qualifying less interesting than if you have everybody go prior to the last minute in hopes of making sure that they don't get penalized?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you have a specific driver you're rooting for to see them go up or down the charts while they're qualifying and to see them go back out again and try and beat that time, that's something I always look forward to.
It's also good for them to practice as well because you get to the race and then all of a sudden you have to abide by the speed limit. It's better just to make sure that you have your lights aligned so that you know what kind of how fast you are going as you're going down pit road. So to see that in action and qualifying is only going to help you out on Sundays.
Exactly.
It's the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com. I'm Jackson alongside Thomas Gomez. And just running down some of the news and notes from earlier this week, there is a list of Hall of Fame nominees that were sent out. And I know you've got the whole list here. And so I'll run through the list, Thomas. Just give me some fun fact about these drivers as we go forward. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
First up, we've got a new nominee, Sam Ard.
2-time late model champion. He won the series in 83 and 84. He was injured in 84 and then became a car owner.
So Sam Ard is now in here for the very first time. And again, with this 2020 election, we've got five people to be inducted. So you got to pick five out of this list. Buddy Baker, the next one up.
Buddy Baker, a driver and sports commentator. He won the 1980 Daytona 500.
He's a guy who was around that was calling races as I was starting to watch in the late 90s. And I believe through the early 2000s as well, before DW came on board. Buddy Baker's a guy whose voice I recognize. Didn't catch a lot of his racing, but a 1980 Daytona 500 driver and winner. I would imagine that he's going to get some serious consideration based on being known to the casual NASCAR fan during its heyday. Buddy Baker, I'll put on that list. Up next, Neil Bonnet.
18 wins, 20 poles in 18 years, and he also starred in the movie Days of Thunder.
Well, that alone right there should put him in,
exactly, right? Yeah,
exactly, right? He's a new nominee this year. Red Farmer.
Known as Red.
That's good.
Yeah, right? He raced from 1928 to 1932. He ran 36 races over 13 years and has three top tens.
So he's running the Model T as it was just invented, 1928 to 1932. Don't know much about Red Farmer. Don't know why it was only 4 years, but he is a nominee and it's not his first year. Ray Fox.
Engine builder, team owner, and engine inspector.
He did it all.
Yeah, he did.
Harry Gant.
Handsome Harry. Ran from the 80s to the 90s. He's known for a 4-time winning streak.
So four races in a row he ended up winning?
Yes.
Joe Gibbs, of course, we know him now as a car owner and also a Super Bowl winning head coach. Joe Gibbs, tell me a little bit about him. What you think of immediately when you hear the name Joe Gibbs?
Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? That's my first reaction. I was looking at through this list. I'm like, Joe Gibbs, that has to be a different one.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be coach.
I'm surprised it took that long, too.
Yeah.
And this isn't his first year where he's up, so I don't know why.
What are they waiting for?
Right now, he's got Kyle Busch on his team, potentially one of the best drivers of all time. And Joe Gibbs, the car owner, and not just the car owner, but an ambassador for the sport as well. Spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure I could read your notes from over here, but Joe Gibbs is someone that you think goes in.
Definitely.
How about Harry Hyde?
Leading crew chief from the 1960s to the 80s, won 56 races and 88 poles.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty good resume for a guy who then became a crew chief?
Yes.
For 20-something years, he might go in. Bobby Labonte is another name that I've recognized.
Yes, he won the 2000 Cup Series championship. And what's interesting about him, though, is he has a brother, Terry Labonte, and they each have a championship underneath their belt. And then when you put it into perspective, Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch also do. So he's one of the two iconic brother pairs, I guess you could say, that both have a championship.
You have father sons, and you also have brothers as well, Terry and Bobby Labonte. And Terry driving the old Kellogg's in 1995, winning the championship there. I believe it was 95. Correct me if I'm wrong online at SportsFan1330. Herschel McGriff.
Won the K&N Pro Series back in 1986. The team won the championship. I found this interesting. He's also the oldest driver to start a NASCAR race at the age of 90 years old.
What?
90. It was a K&N Pro Series race, I believe, back in 2017.
How did we miss this in 2017?
Right, yeah.
Got a 90-year-old driver out there on the K&N Series?
Yep, 90.
It's a competitive series.
90 years, 4 months, and 21 days to be exact.
I hope I'm still active when I'm that old, man.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Ralph Moody.
4 Cup wins and 21 top 10s.
Marvin Panch. First-time nominee this year.
Yes, 1961 Daytona 500 winner. He's also won 17 Cup races.
Okay. Jim Pascal, another guy.
25 wins, 230 top 10s, and 12 poles.
230 top 10s is a nice resume.
Yes, it is.
It's a model of consistency, but if we're looking for the Hall of Fame, as a first-year guy, I don't know if Jim Pascal gets in, but he's got a great resume with those 230 top 10s. Larry Phillips?
5-time Whelen Championship winner. From the 1989 to 1996.
Two out of these next five, you're going to know the names of. Ricky Rudd being one of them.
Yes, he's known as the Rooster.
Yep.
He was the 1977 Rookie of the Year.
It's also a guy who had a consecutive streak with at least one win in every season for about 16 throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. Mike Stefanik.
He's a seven-time Whelan modified champion. I marked him down as, you know, one of mine to be elected into the Hall of Fame. As I think of seven-time Whelan championships is similar to Jimmy Johnson's seven cup championships.
It's a great point. Red Vogt.
I have him down as the first master mechanic. That was his nickname.
The first master mechanic. I wonder if he was around when Red Farmer was driving then, yeah. 1928 to 1932. Waddle Wilson.
Winston Cup crew chief, Daytona 500 wins. He has three of them, 1980, 1983, and 1984.
Went through a nice little string of Daytona 500 victories, 3 out of 5 years.
Yes, and I believe he worked for Hendrick Motorsports.
That might be a name that you could put on the list. Yeah. And then the final one, Tony Stewart.
Yep, he doesn't really need an introduction. Three-time cup champion, 2002, 2005, and 2011.
Now a car owner as well and helping to help out the careers of Kevin Harvick, who is having some of his best seasons here recently. You've got Eric Almirola at the top. You've got a couple of drivers in that stable that Tony Stewart is not only mentoring, but also giving an opportunity at the biggest circuit in the sport. So Tony Stewart, I would be shocked. It's his first year as a nominee, but I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think so, too.
So on my list right now, I've got Buddy Baker. I've got Joe Gibbs. I might throw in Waddle Wilson, Tony Stewart. And the last one is kind of up for debate, and I'm having trouble deciding. Who do you have?
I have Herschel McGriff, just because I like the 90-year-old driver, that record. Mike Stefanik, Tony Stewart, Bobby Labonte, and Joe Gibbs.
And there's a quick look at the drivers that are nominees for the 2020 Hall of Fame class. We'll keep you posted as those get announced here in the coming weeks. It's the Racing Rundown. I'm Jackson alongside Thomas Gomez. Up next, we'll take a look at the caution-filled race in Phoenix, kind of break down exactly what happened, as well as the standings four races in, and maybe talk about who has done well so far, who's maybe surprised you, and who's maybe struggling but could turn the corner pretty soon. I've got one guy in mind that I think that we should talk about. Also, we'll preview tomorrow afternoon's Auto Club race before we get out of here as well. He's Thomas Gomez. I'm Jackson. It's the Racing Rundown.
The Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.